You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It's a good morning to you, Oyama, and welcome to the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media.
Morning, Tamsanga. Thank you very much for having me, and morning to all your listeners as well.
Thank you very much, Oyama. Are you excited, Uti, 2024 has come to an end and we're getting into 2025?
Yes, it is quite a very interesting time that we are living in. So 2025 should show us a bit more of those interesting times. And I think a lot more will unfold for us. So there's a bit of excitement there.
But yes. I've got a question. Is it not just another date, Nje? We still living in the same place, same environment. Akufani.
Yeah, it's, you know, the way time moves, when you get older, it seems to stand still, you know. But when you're still a child, you know, or if there's a child in your presence, you realize that every second that passes by, every minute that passes by, an hour, the month, there's significant growth and there's significant change that is happening to the child. And that's very rapid. But then there's also very slow change that happens.
Okay.
You know, like, for example, dripping of water on a rock.
Yeah.
You give it 10 years and then the next thing, that rock has a big hole in the middle of it. And the dripping of the water has not changed. It's just that it has been consistently hitting the same place each and every time. So that's what happens to time.
Yeah.
You know, the change might not seem big when you're looking at it, but it's actually very significant.
I like that. I like that analogy of the rock. I really like it because it might be dripping, the rock might be the same, but the water has got is making a difference in the rock. And definitely the years are making a difference in our lives. And thank you very much for that analogy. And let's quickly jump into our conversation this morning, Oyama. The question of why is Jesus coming back again? But I just want us to start off by looking at this to say, I grew up singing songs from the book of John 14, verse 1, which says, "Inhliziyo zenu mazingakhathazeki, kholwani kubaba nikholwe nakimi." It says Jesus, and there it would say to us, "I'm coming back again. And if I go, I will come back to take you to be with me." Why is Jesus coming? What does the Bible say? In fact, let's just start there. What does the Bible say about the second coming of Jesus?
You know, the Bible has quite a lot to say about the second coming of Jesus. I mean, you can consider Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, that says that he will come quickly and will not tarry. You know, Revelations 1:7 that says, "Behold, I come quickly." And the very beautiful one that you quoted as well, John 14 verse 1 to 3, that if I go, I will come again. Acts chapter 1 verse 9 to 11, that this same Jesus that you see going up now will come down in the same manner. So there's quite a lot of verses that reiterate this picture or this event of Jesus Christ coming again. And I guess what we would need to first understand, why is Jesus coming back, would have to first investigate the condition of the world as it is now.
Okay.
I like that you spoke about the issue of time, that is 2025 not exactly the same thing? You know, when you are employed and you are working, you wake up in the morning, you have breakfast, you bath, you go to work, you do your daily duties at work, you come back home, maybe you put on Netflix or whatever you sit at home and watch, go on TikTok, go on Instagram, the sun sets, you go to bed, you wake up, you fall in love, you get married, you have children, and the flow of time continues and it carries on like that to the point that as humanity, we have began to think that this is our purpose. This is what we were created for. This is what we were made for, to just live, eat, drink, make babies and that's all, you know, and die eventually. But this is not why we were created. You know, the reason we were created is unbeknown to us. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, for he says, you know, for now we see like we see through a glass.
Okay.
We see dimly the things that God has prepared for us, and basically the purpose that he had created us for initially. Because when sin came in, sin disturbed God's plan for all of creation, including humanity.
And
when that happened, God had to make a plan of changing that and fixing that. And you find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25 or 26 till about 27, where Paul says that to us who are being saved, Jesus Christ is both the wisdom and the power of God. So that means that the Jesus Christ coming for the first time and just the gift of Jesus Christ is about God rectifying a problem that is universal and that has affected his entire creation and mostly creation on planet Earth. So in essence, if we ask the question, why is Jesus coming back? He is coming back to fix a problem that has stopped or interrupted the plans that he has for his creation. And that is being done through us here on planet Earth.
You know, I like, you know what, Oyama, you've touched on something. You drew the human cycle where we're born, we go to school, eventually we are parents, eventually we die. And, and for me, it seems to have drawn a picture that life is mundane. It draws a picture that there's no purpose to life. We're going nowhere. And so does then the second coming of Jesus paint to something better?
Definitely. Jesus Christ's second coming paints to something so much more better. You know, in the mundane life that we live, there are many painful experiences that we go through. You know, sometimes you're a little boy and you're a little child, and someone who is stronger than you ill-treats you and treats you unfairly, and you have no strength to defend yourself. And you know, in your heart you're like, I wish there was someone who would offer me justice for what has happened to me. You know, you are a bit older, you have graduated, you have your degree, you are doing the right thing, applying for work, and then there's someone who has the opportunity to give you a job as a young person, but says to you, I'm only willing to give you a job if you give me 10,000 rand. But because you are a Christian and you believe, you say, I will not bribe. And you don't get the job. But then you ask yourself the question, who will give me justice for this thing that has happened to me? So in life's mundane sort of like day-to-day living, there are a lot of injustices that we incur. There's a lot of common things that we incur. You know, sometimes your friend says something to you that is so painful, someone steals from you. All these painful things that happen to us are things that we then know that when Jesus Christ comes, they will be avenged. Romans chapter 12, where it says that, you know, vengeance is mine, let the Lord avenge. And then we consider the fact of the matter that then those that did right, because there are many people that we watch driving Ferraris in the world, driving expensive cars, who got them through corruption. And you, who's doing the right thing, can barely feed your family. Who's going to rectify those things? And this is what the second coming offers us. And that's just surface level thinking. There are deeper things that we can speak about. Maybe just before your second question to this, John 14 verse 1 up to verse 3 tells us that Christ is going to prepare mansions for us in heaven. And one thing that we can definitely note about God is that God is not incompetent. So God promising to make mentions for us in heaven, it far exceeds what we can comprehend or even see. If you read Genesis chapter 1, when it tells you how God created and the way that he was creating and how meticulous he was in creating, you know that a God who is competent will not run away from showing us the things that he has promised us. So Jesus cannot change his mind about coming because it's like, if the mentions I promised are not up to par,
yeah, yeah,
you know, he's competent.
Yeah.
Therefore, he will come back to prove his competency.
And to fulfill his promise, definitely.
Yes. Yes.
But you know what, Oyama, you've touched on exactly where I was going to when you mentioned the story of Genesis, chapter 1. In the story of Genesis, we find God creating the heavens and the earth. And
yes.
in that's Genesis chapter 1, and he creates humanity. In Genesis chapter 2, we find him now, easing men into the Garden of Eden and introducing a woman into the story, and we're getting the breakdown of it. In Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man occurs.
Mm.
And for me, there's something there in terms of why Jesus is coming back again, because we lived in a certain world, Oyama, and before the fall of man, there was perfection.
Yes.
Everything was perfect to the T. And nothing, there was no illness. And so when sin comes through, we get into this cycle, we are born, and we tend to assume and think that getting the mansions, getting certain things, getting the Ferraris is what life is all about. But isn't the book of Genesis saying to us, there is something greater than what you are experiencing right now? And this is why Jesus is coming again.
Definitely, definitely. You know, with what you were saying there, it's very important. If you read in the book of Patriarchs and Prophets, the first chapter, Why Was Sin Permitted? The first two paragraphs talk about the fact that it was only Jesus who could enter the purposes of God.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when God created, because think about it in this way. You wake up in the morning, you decide, I want to build a house.
Yeah.
You build a house, and after you've built the house, you're like, oh, what a beautiful house, and you walk away from it.
Mm.
You know, when you decide to build a house, it's because there's a purpose that you expect that house to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain thing that you want to achieve from the building of that house. If you're a man with a family, you're like, I'm building a house so my family can live in this house, so my children can grow up in this house.
Right.
You know, so there's a purpose for what you are doing.
Mm.
So if God is so powerful and so intelligent and so wise, would he not create with a purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And if God created with a purpose, then that means humanity has an eternal purpose that we don't know nothing about yet.
Mm.
And there's actually scriptures in the Bible that show this. I mean, maybe we can't read them now, and we can just write them down and reread them again.
Mm.
Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says that, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans of an expected end, meaning where God wants to take us eventually.
Yeah.
God knows those plans. We don't.
Yeah.
In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 up to verse 12, God speaks about the fact that, you know, from the foundation of the world, he had predestinated us that we might become like his sons.
Yeah.
So before creation even came into place, you read in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 to 28, let us make man in our own image. So God already wanted us to look like Jesus Christ. It's not a new thing that Jesus Christ was born on earth as a man and now resembles us as his brethren. But we were always a gift to Jesus Christ, that God had created us to resemble Jesus Christ in the fullest sense. We don't know what that is. Only when Jesus Christ returns and gives us the crowns that he has promised us and the reward that he has promised us will we then begin for eternity future understand and fulfill that purpose that God has created for us. And I can tell you this now, it's not waking up to alarms. Just to join traffic. Yes, sir.
You know, you've got my mind racing right now. You've got my mind racing because when you now put it that way, I'm thinking, Jesus is the Son of God, ne?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, the only child, okay, Now, hey, I'm my mind is saying, oh, God says, no, aganga kuli yedwa, he should not be alone. Let me give him some young brothers and young sisters. And that's where we come into the picture. And I'm like, "Yoo, I'm excited." Eh?
Yes. And that's exactly what Ephesians chapter 1 says. It says so that they can become brethren with him.
Ah, I love that. I'm excited about that. What, hey, nam wagonkulunkulu, the synonym is that I carry. So now, Oyama, let's look at it from this point of view. You talk about a person building a house and then they can't walk away from it. The Garden of Eden, God says to Adam and Eve, have dominion above everything that creeps, that crawls. And the only thing that it doesn't give dominion over to them is dominion over each other.
Yes.
Then the devil comes in Genesis chapter 3. He then takes dominion of what was given to Adam and Eve. So that means that somewhere along the line, the kingdom that was given to Adam and Eve has now been corrupted.
Yes.
Is it that Jesus is now coming back again to right what went wrong?
No, definitely. Because he does say in Revelations, behold, I make a new heaven and a new earth. I make all things new. You understand? So God is basically saying that as and how we understood things, God will make things completely brand new. And that kingdom that was lost, that beauty that was lost, that perfection that was lost, God is saying that I am redoing it for you. I am recreating it and I'm making it anew for you to enjoy. And what's nice about enjoying this, we're enjoying this from a perspective of saying that at some point in our lives, we had gone through such a difficult and a terrible time on earth living in sin. You know, there are people who have lost their parents at a young age and had to struggle through life to become adults. You know, there are people who have bad things have happened to them in life. There are people who have been taken by chronic sicknesses and your entire life you have had to live taking medication, taking supplications in order for you to be able to enjoy the bare minimum of life. So God says that I am coming and I'm making all things new. And you will now begin to enjoy the true pleasures and the true beauties that God had purposed to give to humanity within the Garden of Eden. And then maybe before we move on, there's something that you touched on that was quite amazing, that the devil took away dominion from Adam and Eve. But God was so merciful. God was so kind that he refused the devil to have dominion over Adam and Eve. Because the Bible says, and I will put enmity between you and the serpent. So in that way, the dominion that the devil had usurped from mankind and putting mankind under his mastery, God said, I will not permit you to have that dominion because I am still God. Yes, they've fallen. Yes, they've made a mistake. But in my mercy, I will not allow them to be your slaves. And from that point on, humanity had hope that we will be saved from this quagmire we are in.
Wow, I'm excited by that. You know, you actually bring it in another way. That actually, you know, that makes me feel warm about God, really. I'm excited by that. I just want to quickly, as we wrap it up, Oyama, let's go to Daniel chapter 2. And I know you'd have studied on this one before. The story of Daniel chapter 2, it's a story. I love the story because it talks to what we're experiencing the world through.
Yes.
We every year, every 5 years, we go and we vote. We vote for this party in the hope that this party will transform our fortunes on planet Earth. But believe me, you know, no party can stand up and say, we can say, this party is brilliant. This party has been good for us. Parties have come and gone. And still we remain not where we want to be. And so for me, the story that's found in Daniel chapter 2 is a story to say the rulers, the political parties of this earth, try as they might, they will never achieve the level of satisfaction that we want as a human race. And therefore, the return of Jesus addresses a certain need in our lives: good governance.
And I think that's a very important thing. And maybe we can even go down to a fundamental issue of why the governance of this world is problematic.
Yeah.
Because people are liars.
Yeah, you win.
People are liars. You know, sometimes someone enters into politics with a good intention. But the minute they get there and they realize that in order for me to continue with my good intentions, I will lose everything. But if I become corrupt, I will be exceedingly rich. And they are willing to do that.
Yeah.
Now, what we have in Jesus Christ is we have a God who cannot lie.
Yes.
So whatever he promises, he will deliver to his own hurt. That's something that's very amazing to think about, that because God said that you have fallen, I will come and I will save you. He did not send Gabriel for him to save us.
Yeah.
He did not send another human being to save us. He saved us through his own hurt. He sacrificed all of heaven's beauties so that we might be saved. He sacrificed his own life so that we might be saved. Romans says that, chapter 3, for privily, you know, a man might die for someone who's good. You know, it could happen. You know, you could say, Tamzang, Oyama is a good guy. They don't have to kill him. And then you say, maybe I can die in his place. It could be a thought that is in your head. But Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners.
Yeah.
It's like someone who is a nyaope who is caught after stealing. And he's sitting there on the edge of the stairs, and they are saying, we are going to kill him. And he's smoking his nyaope, and you say, oh, shame, don't kill him, kill me.
Ish.
But you can see he's continuing in the very thing that is bringing him death. But you take his place. No politician can ever do that.
No, never.
No politician can ever do that. There was actually a lady, I don't know her name, in the news. They were asking for some aid for this whole Zamazama debacle that's happening there at Stilfontein. And she said, you can't help criminals.
Ish.
Criminals must be persecuted. You can't help criminals. We are going to let them suffer there.
Hey.
These are the politicians that we choose. These are the people that we have entrusted our livelihood to. And we have a Jesus who says, you know, to the woman caught in adultery, where are your accusers? And she says, I see none. Then he says, no, do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And when he's on the cross, those that are the very ones who are nailing him on the cross, he looks at them and he says, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. You know, there's something quite amazing about the cross. And I'm sorry to digress. When Jesus goes to the cross to be crucified. The day that Jesus was to be crucified, there's an analogy in that trial there. Remember, there was asked the question, who would you rather have?
Yeah.
Jesus, the King of the Jews, or Barabbas? And they said, give us Barabbas.
Yeah.
What happened to Barabbas? Barabbas' life was saved by Jesus' death.
Yeesh.
So there are powerful examples in the Bible of how Jesus' life saved even a murderer who was sitting at the point of perdition. And Jesus, at that very moment, died in Barabbas' place.
Oyama, I wanted to give you the pulpit right there. let's wrap it up here today, because tomorrow we are going to be talking about when is he coming back again, which is quite a very sensitive topic also, because... I remember in 1992 October, somebody we were told Jesus is coming back again, and lo and behold, I knew he was not coming back again. But I look forward to our conversation again tomorrow, Oyama, and I just want to say thank you very, very much for taking your time to come and share with us these powerful insights into why Jesus is coming back again.
Thank you very much. I believe the coming of Jesus Christ is the only reason we have hope as Christians. Without the coming of Jesus Christ, what would the necessity of being a Christian be? Because we eat, we will die, and You know, might as well eat and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Amen.
But we have this hope that is in our hearts of the soon coming of our Savior.
Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Till we meet again tomorrow, Oyama, may you have yourself a happy new year, and may the good Lord keep you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Tammy, for inviting me. And thank you very much to the listeners for taking time to hear us as we speak on these. And may God bless you and the family for New Year's. Have a good one, sir.
Amen. Well, that was Oyama Valashia. Very interesting surname there. Very interesting surname. I also like that surname. I found it very unique. But what a conversation about the second coming of Jesus. And he wraps it up quite nicely to say the second coming of Jesus is what gives us hope. Without the second coming of Jesus, what hope would we have? And it's quite exciting to know that we are also part of the heavenly family. I'm excited by that.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.